So we're going to do the repertoire session for Jazz Clinic tonight. There's not much teaching involved. I mean, every genre has its, but idiom, you know, has its own standard rep, right? Even the classical world, you know. And so there's no way around, you know, not learning and, like, memorizing. So the goal should really be to memorize the melody and the chord progression so that you can play it the rest of your life without having to look, you know. You can always tell, like, I've read things that say, like, don't be a fake book clutcher, you know. And you can always tell musicians, some, not always, but, you know, a lot of times you can tell a certain level of comfort for a musician before they even play if they're clutching a fake book and making sure it's set up and whatever else, you know. So, like, we're going to start with Take the A Train and if we have time, Green Dolphin Street and All the Things You Are. And you may not be able to memorize. Don't try to memorize all three, first of all. You just memorize one at a time. If it takes you a week, it takes you a week. If it takes you a month, it takes you a month. If it takes you 3 months, it takes you 3 months. And then, you know, go on to the next one. But I will tell you this from experience, it takes a lot shorter to memorize 0 to 5 tunes than it does from 20 to 50. Somehow, even though the spread is 30 tunes in the latter and 5 tunes in the former, I don't know how it happens. I don't know why it happens. It's just like there's part of your brain that just digests content. And you have to go deeper into the tunes, which is why I provided the analyses. So we shouldn't really get into that too much. But these Roman numerals, they're there for a reason. They're on the website. And it's these tunes to analyze. We're going to start with Take the A Train. So just briefly, we're going to go over the analysis. Pull out either the chart or the Roman numerals. Either way, we're going to do it. But look, the Take the A Train. The most common jazz chord progression is a 2-5-1. You've heard this, right? We did this before. And all it is, look, in a big picture, tunes either move from the tonic away and create tension. And then they get resolved when they eventually come back. Or they start away from the tonic, which already is tension, and then eventually resolve. You know, this tune moves away from the tonic. It starts on the tonic. It obviously starts on the one chord. And it's just a big extended 2-5-1. So one, and then two dominant adds a little tension because usually a two chord is minor. And then regular two and five and then one, right? Sorry, my singing. But you repeat that. One, and then two dominant, which means a seventh chord, and then two, five, and then one. Now, I put in parentheses, five minor, one dominant. That means a 2-5 of the four chord. Does this make sense to anybody? If you're in the key of C, your G minor 7 to C7 is a 2-5 of F minor, F major, which is the where the bridge is, right? Four, and then still more, four, right? And then you got two dominant again, and then a 2 and 5, and then you're back with that two dominant, right? And then 2 and 5 and 1. So all you have to remember is the 2-5-1, and the bridge goes to 4. Like, there's always a way to condense memorizing tunes down. You ever hear about, once I read an article on how zip files, when they were first came out, how they work? Like, not to get technical, but, like, you know, how does a zip file take, 1 gigabyte and compress it down to, you know, 750 megabytes. Like, where does that 250 go, and how does it instantly come back? Right? Some of you science people probably know all about this, but I was fascinated to read, and you can assess how well I explained this, but, you know, if it's all just ones and zeros, then it looks for patterns. Okay, well, if you got, you know, 5 zeros plus 3 ones or whatever, then that becomes A. Now, of course, I'm oversimplifying, and it's a lot easier to remember or to store A than it is 5 zeros and 3 ones. So if you look for patterns all over the place, you squash it all down with different characters and then resubstitute the originals when it gets back to the other side. That's how the compression works. Why? What does this have to do with jazz? There's just a few key elements to know about each tune. That's how you begin to memorize tunes. You don't memorize, you don't hang on to each chord. You see big picture. They're called push pins. The push pins in this case would be like the 2-5, like I said, and the fact that it's a 5, a 2 dominant at first instead of a regular 2. And then the bridge goes to 4. There aren't that many push pins in that, in this tune. You could easily put the rest around it. Does that make sense? Any questions so far?
And the melody, too. Like, you should analyze the melody. We're going to play it. Maybe we should play it in unison in each room first before we do the actual... Like, drummers, too. Learn the actual melody. Yeah. Drummers, do you have a piano at home? If so, if not, get one. Get a little cheap thing. You know? I'm learning about drum language and how to represent it. It's been fascinating, actually. So there's no reason you guys can't learn melodies. At the very least, accent maybe the rhythmic, like perhaps you could accent every single note in the melody or the prominent ones. We should do it together. Not only are you learning a melody, but you should be thinking of the analysis of the melody. So ultimately, if you have 5-3-5-1-3, and then like flat 6 is really... And then 6-6 flat 7 7 3 5 flat 5 4 flat 2. That flat 2 is the best part. And then 1 3. So then, not showing off, but pick me a different key besides C. Anyone? All right, we had G and F. So what if we split the difference and do F sharp? So first of all, the chords. And the bridge goes to 4. You get the idea. And if you're going to play the melody, now I might not be able to do it that fast because I'm in F sharp, but... that's a little weird. Maybe I should do it an octave up. So this is the level at which you really know a tune. If in the horn players, any of you guys, like for those of you who are more advanced, you already know this tune. You know, try playing it in different keys. And if you're feeling super confident, you know, modulate up a half step every time. You're in C for 32 bars, then C, D flat, and then D, then E flat. You know, that would be quite fun sometime. We'll meet back here next year and do it. What do you think? In the meantime, let's play. Any questions?
Good question. And in the harmonic analysis, not on Take the Atrium, but on some of the other ones, there's a little 2 next to it. That goes back to one of the earlier sessions we did, which is the John Mehegan system of analysis. And that little 2 happens to mean third inversion. So you have root position is the root and the bass, first inversion, the third's in the bass. Second inversion, the fifth's in the bass, and third inversion, the seventh's in the bass. That little 2 means seventh in the bass.
Did you put it in kind of because it's unusual and it's sort of key?
I put it in because it helps highlight what's happening, the motion of the tune. It describes the motion. If you have, let's say, for example, in simple terms, if you have, let's say, C, G, and A minor, right? So... sounds like No Woman, No Cry. Now listen to the bass line. All right, that's No Woman, No Cry. But now listen to it with smooth voice leading. The bass will... a lot nicer, right? So I stuck G in the... I stuck a B in the bass on the G chord because B is right between where I'm coming from, C, and where I'm going to, A minor. So if it describes the motion better... when I now analyze that chord, G over B, I'll analyze it as a first inversion G chord. So it's a bit technical, but it has its use. And if you ignore it while you're analyzing, that's fine. It just adds a little more description. But that's and so if you have any questions about that, go back and review the harmonic analysis session that we did in clinic number 2 or 3. His cymbals are kind of weird, and they're not even universally adopted either, but that's where I learned it, and he was the first to do it, so... it's my story, I'm sticking to it. Someone's asking about they can memorize till the cows come home, but it doesn't mean anything unless you can really hear it, and that's an excellent point. And that same person who asked the question said that they're already doing 2 things which I would have recommended right off the bat. 1, they're arpeggiating the chords, which means you got 1, and then the 2 chord dominant. and then the minor, and then the five. Sorry. And that's in the A section. Everybody heard that, right? So that's one thing. And then the second thing he said he was doing is he's doing it on piano. And that's good for everyone, including chord, like guitar players. It's good for singers. Good for all you guys should have little keyboards that you tinker around on. It's really great. It opens up your mind.
Also, just put a backing track on and get you know, just play it a lot. And you could also have something, if it's a piece of software, where you can instantly transpose the key, like iReal Pro or Band in a Box. That will go back to, like I said. Another way is to just do the third little patterns of each chord, like you do with 3-5, for example. It could be three notes or four note patterns. Let's just do two notes. So 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 3 and 5, and then the 3 and 5 of that chord, and then. Sorry, I messed up. The 3 and 5 would be. And then, sorry, I messed up again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Bridge. And then. Like that. And you'll, you know, then you do lots of different patterns like that. You'll start hearing it real quick. You know, 1, 3, 5, 9, or 1, 3, 5, 7, 9 is, you know, there's millions of patterns. There's a book by Jerry Coker for horn players in particular called Patterns for Jazz, which I like. You know, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. All right, am I going off the deep end or not? So let's do it. Let's play.